normally, you know, we're doing a fun drive here, so we might not have the opportunity to talk. But Friday is also our traditional time for Shreveport Symphony Spotlight. So this is kind of a combination event of sorts. So since we have the opportunity, Michael, why don't you go ahead and talk about what the program is going to be for this weekend?
Sure. Well, we're kind of celebrating the arrival of spring. I think that's one way of looking at this program. And I think it's an arrival that we've all been looking forward to, especially after that cold snap that we had not so long ago here. And so there's two pieces on the program that have a connection to spring. There's the short tone poem by Frederick Delius called On Hearing the First Cuckoo in Spring, which is a beautiful sort of idyllic just a little miniature for a small orchestra that paints a very kind of blissful and peaceful image and feeling. And then there is the Botticelli triptych, three pieces by Ottorino Respighi that are based on paintings by the Renaissance painter Botticelli, one of which is called La Primavera, Spring. It's the one that opens the set of three. And it has a very energetic, kind of almost frantic feel to it. There's a lot of sort of buzzing energy, and along with a mix of sort of Renaissance rhythms and sort of a dance feel to it at many points. And then, or I should say in between those, we are hearing a youthful work by Mozart, his Violin Concerto number 3, which was written when he was 19 years old, and will be played for us by, as you just mentioned, by Alex, who's the concertmaster in Dallas and professor at Indiana University as well. And we're just really excited to be able to share this this incredible music by Mozart and to work with Alex.
Yeah, yes, indeed. And Alex, if you don't mind talking a little bit about the concerto. And it's got to actually feel really good. I don't know how much performing you've been. Of course, so many of us have not been able to do much during the pandemic. And I was kind of wondering, well, you know, how much have you been doing? I know the Dallas Symphony is kind of opening up and doing some more stuff too. But what's your schedule
been
like?
One of the only orchestras that's still been playing almost the entire time. We started playing a little bit again in July, and then we basically opened the season in September and haven't stopped since. The protocols that we put in place have really worked well. I mean, it's you know, you've had a couple little scares here and there that were, you know, a little precarious, but overall the protocols that have been set have protected both the audience and the performers. So basically, the safest place I feel is at work. You know, it's been that kind of thing. And you know, places like here in Shreveport, in Houston, in Dallas, only a few other orchestras are actually performing in front of people, in front of live audiences. So it's very rare and fantastic. Well, we just played with James Ennis a few weeks ago, a violinist who's a dear friend of mine. And James said that this is one of the only performances he's had in months.
Yeah.
And it felt weird for him because he was nervous. I mean, he couldn't remember the last time he actually felt nervous because he hadn't played in front of actual humans, breathing humans. So it's intense.
My gosh, I hadn't actually thought of that, but that's that makes total sense. Of course, Meyerson. I mean, that's you have a lot of volume in that hall there, so it should feel like a really secure space. Aside from just being a fabulous place to perform, but
yeah, and we socially distance on stage, so we built a stage extension which helped us socially distance on stage. It's 6 to 8 feet apart. And what people don't realize is how difficult that is, playing socially distance and with masks on. Playing with masks is also strange. It's a strange feeling of lack of facial communication, but it's also a strange feeling of not being able to breathe as well. And then you're spaced 8 feet apart from the nearest person, which is also incredibly different to hear and to communicate. So we've learned an incredible amount by doing this. I think that orchestras that have been doing this are going to be much better off in the long run when it comes to playing as an ensemble, because we're forced to deal with people that are 60 feet away at some points.
Better. It's like a listening exercise.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about the concerto.
The Strasbourg Concerto by Mozart. He wrote it, as Michael said, when he was 19 years old. It's, for me, one of my favorite pieces. I grew up playing this. I started playing this piece when I was 11. And it was one of the first pieces I ever performed as a youngster, and I continue to perform it my whole life. It is exactly as Michael said, youthful. It's in a key G major, which is basically the key of youth. And it's beautiful. The second movement is one of the most beautiful movements. And I've decided to I've chosen cadenzas written by my friend Robert Levin, who's a Mozart scholar. And they're very stylistic. I mean, I've listened to a lot of cadenzas that are very flashy and very crazed. And I just thought I would pick something that was a little bit more like in tune with the style of the time. And of course, Robert is brilliant for writing those. But I can't wait to play. I just can't wait to get on stage.
Yeah,
it's such a great being on stage.
We don't always get to talk about cadenza choices. It doesn't, because of course, you know, a lot of performers, not that we've been doing so much, tend to use some of the ones that have been around for a long time. But that's refreshing to have something that's a little different.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Marvelous. The concerts, by the way, let me mention this, take place tomorrow evening, 7:30 p.m. This is Friday, right? Am I going? Yeah, yes, this is Friday. Tomorrow evening, 7:30 p.m. With a repeat on Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m. And both of these performances are in First Baptist Church, Shreveport. Now, the seating is limited. Everything is spaced in there. So there is a basically, you're on kind of a first come first serve basis for getting your tickets, because it could very easily be sold out. Of course, the subscription people have their tickets. But the other nice thing about this is, if for whatever reason, if you cannot get a seat, or if you're not comfortable yet, you have the opportunity to view these online. And Michael, Symphony's been doing these for our mini season so far, but all the way through.
Yes, right. So your listeners may know that we did a couple of events last year that were televised, and they were done in a couple of different fashions. But since January, we have been back performing. But the idea was always that we would perform either for a live audience, if that was allowed by the state's reopening phase, or we would record those. Actually, we would live stream them and then make them available on demand for 2 weeks, which is what we will continue to do. So it was just 2 weeks ago that we moved to phase three, and we're allowed to have a limited indoor audience for these kinds of events. So people can, as you say, come in person. I hope they will choose to do so if they feel safe doing so. And as you said, it will be safe. People will be distanced. Everyone will be masked and so on. But they also have the option of watching this either live as it's actually happening, or on demand for a couple of weeks thereafter. Or I guess they could do both. I think. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say it right now. If you come, you can also have a digital pass.
Relive that moment.
Exactly. Check out those cadenzas one more time. See exactly what was going on there.
That's for sure. Shreveport Symphony website, of course, is shreveportsymphony.com. Or you can call 318-227-8863 or 227-TUNE, tune, and inquire about tickets and information. Either way, to attend live or to view the link. Which has been really cool, and I have the feeling that, you know, as orchestras have, performers, not just in orchestras, have started doing this during this particular time, this is likely to be something that continues onward to help connect us with our audiences.
Yeah, I certainly hope that it will. I mean, I know in Dallas you've been doing the same thing, have you not, Alex? You've been able to come in person or check it out. In fact, in doing my due diligence, I didn't get over to, well, I should say that Alex played this very piece with the DSO, was it a couple months ago or maybe even more recently? And so I was not able to get over there in person, but I purchased my digital access to be able to check out those cadenzas you were just mentioning. And I think it's a way of connecting, as you just said, Kermit, that I frankly wish we'd been doing for a number of years up to this point. But, you know, there are obviously things coming out of this experience that from which we will benefit. And one of them, I think, is the way that we have been able to, as people in the classical music world, begin to develop this, the digital content aspect of what we are about.
Yeah. A great part of celebrating spring with new things. I mean, it's a new season outside. Things are warming up. Hopefully there won't be any more snow. I got to say, though, I was thinking about that the other day, and it has snowed as late as April around here. But I don't think that's going to happen this time around. So we'll celebrate.
The last time I played the Mozart was when the ice storm and everything happened in Dallas. I couldn't practice for 4 days. I slept with my violin case because it was 40 degrees in my apartment.
To heat up the fiddle.
The violin out of the case for 4 days. I could not. There was nowhere to go. It was a nightmare. I had no power for 4 days, no water for 10. So it was intense.
That's really scary. Intense. Yeah, we had so many people throughout the region. You just reminded me. So when I was at the conservatory, Boston, right, when a lot of places have oil-generated steam heat, and the conservatory didn't order the oil, and it was in the middle of winter. And I remember being in there, and we had ice on the toilets, and my fiddle got a crack in it. It was really not good. But so you got to protect them.
Ellen and I have a new intimacy, though.
So. Yeah, there you go. That was the answer. It never occurred to any of us back then. Well, and anything, guys, want to add about the concert, Michael, Alex?
Well, you know, I look, it's just it's wonderful to be able to, you know, we've been doing a lot of music with our strings this spring so far. That we're happy to be welcoming back, you know, some of our woodwinds that we haven't seen for a little while, and of course, it's still a small orchestra that we're going to be presenting, but we really need it to be because, as Alex said, with the spacing that we're doing, you know, we have to kind of make sure that we're not. I mean, we couldn't put if we felt able to. We don't have a space big enough to put 70 people distanced, let's say, from one another on stage. And I will just, as a point of personal privilege, I will just mention that. And I can't even remember, Alex, if I told you this. But we've been talking about working together here with the Shreveport Symphony for well over a year now. But Alex was the concertmaster of the youth orchestra that I played in back in Northern Virginia. And he probably doesn't, I'm sure he doesn't remember me because I was hiding back in the second violins somewhere. but it is just so wonderful to see how his career has just blossomed as everyone realized it would. And a delight to be able to reconnect with him after, well, a number of years. I won't try to figure out.
I'm looking forward to the program. And also for people who are going to come to the concert, it's an eclectic program. I mean, I've never heard the other pieces, never heard of them. So I'm actually really curious to listen to them.
Wow. Okay. Delighted. I'm so glad that we can.
Never heard them before. I'm really looking forward to it.
Fabulous. You'll like them.
Yeah. Beautiful pieces. Anybody listening who isn't familiar, I mean, this is a really a gorgeous concert. And I have the feeling you at least recognize the Delius when that's on there. But in any case, what fun. So, again, a celebration of spring. And, I'm glad you mentioned that the third concerto is one of your favorite concertos because it is just a delightful piece. Again, the concerts tomorrow evening, 7:30 p.m., Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. So two opportunities if you're able to get a ticket. Go to ShreveportSymphony.com or call 318-227-TUNE. And that's also where you need to go to get the link if you are not able for one reason or another to attend. But, you know, we have the gorgeous acoustic of First Baptist Church, which for this type of concert, you know, chamber orchestra stuff, it seems to work very, very nicely in there. So that's another thing to look forward to, I would think.
Indeed. I hope to see everyone either in person or, through the magic of streaming.
So we've got to get back in. We got to get into a Classical Guitar Alive. So those guitarists are there waiting for us to wrap up our spotlight. But it's been delightful as always. I know, Michael, you're going to be hanging around to help us with the drive here. Alex, thank you so much for coming on and being on the air. And I'm looking forward to hearing you play.
Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to performing for everyone. Michael, I can't wait to see you. I'll see you tonight at rehearsal.
Sounds great. Look forward to that.
And if you're
all right, take care. See you soon.
Take care.
And if you're with an organization and you are interested in getting your event out, give us a call at 800-552-8502, or you can also send us a message via our email address, and that's also on our website at redriverradio.org.